Welcome back to the Variant Cast, the first and only show to be brought to you exclusively in ASL and then later translated by Kingpin. What is going on, Trent? How are you doing today?
Doing good.
We're going to be talking a bunch of different things like Echo, Daredevil news. We're going to be talking a little bit about Percy Jackson and what WWE wrestlers have turned into actors. So if you're interested in kind of finding out more about that, as well as our Rotter Tots for February, make sure you stick around. But to start out, we're going to get into some spoiler-free talk about Echo. It came out recently, and Marvel kind of just shot out all five parts to us, and we're like, hey, digest this. What do you think of this? And what did you think, Trent?
I really enjoyed it. I was surprised that I wasn't really surprised, but I was really
flabbergasted. You're at a loss for words.
Yeah, I'm a literal loss for words at how good the show is. No, I really enjoyed the series, and I thought that the characters were really good in it, and I thought the action was good in it too.
Yeah, it is hard to put into words what this show is, because it's not the best show ever, it's not the worst show ever, but it is well paced, and I love me some well paced stuff. It is five episodes. Each episode has a start and an end that feels like a cohesive episode. It feels like a chapter in the story, and by the fourth chapter, you feel like you're on the last chapter. The first chapter, you feel like you're on the first chapter. It moves well, and considering that the show did go through some production issues where I was originally expected to be eight episodes and six episodes and five episodes, you know, you could see how maybe there might be some issues, but the Saint Secret Invasion, they had people that actually knew what they were doing here, and they were able to salvage it.
Yeah, and it seemed like the actors like really cared about the show and the characters that they played. I thought that I think her name is Alequa Cox. She plays Maya, and I thought that she was really good for being, I think this is like her first acting role.
Can we talk about the child actor that is that like her niece or daughter?
I think that's her sister or something.
Okay, because that is the most uncanny like grow yeah. up, like it's her.
Yeah, like, they look exactly the same.
Like unreal casting, and it makes sense just relation, but she looks so much like her. And I think in universe, this isn't a spoiler, it's a random throwaway line. We will get into spoilers just in a couple minutes here, but like there's this line where it's like, you look exactly the same. One of her family members tells her, and she does. I don't know how a 5-year-old or 4-year-old or however old she was at the time of the accident. I don't know how she looks so much like her, but it is uncanny.
Yeah, no, I thought that that casting was good. I liked the casting of the cousins. I thought that they were really great. I talked about Sneaky Pete last week, and one of the actors from that is plays the cousin in this. And so, yeah, I thought that gave a good family vibe, and I liked how much the set pieces were used to like tell the story, you know?
Yeah. And I love certain, like characters, the way they would do ASL. Like, the one guy, he would like whisper as he did it. I don't know. It sounded super cool. It looked good. It like, there was different styles that people would do them in. I did have a question like with, like there's no other deaf people, so all these people just have amazing memories to like remember ASL when the only deaf person they knew.
I mean, I feel like once you learn it, like it's kind of like speaking Spanish. It's like, like once you like speak it fluently, it just like comes second nature to you.
Yeah. That makes sense. I just feel like I've learned so many like random one-off like ASL words and then I just immediately forget it. I'm always like, oh, I'll remember that. I'll remember how to say that one thing in ASL. And then I just never can. Hand memory is tough. But bravo. Bravo to them. Bravo to anyone that knows ASL.
Yeah. It's really impressive like you said, it really like speaks to each character how each person does it. Like Kingpin just not really like taking the time to learn how to do it after 15 years of knowing Maya. So him just having a translator there all of the time.
I thought that was such a perfect encapsulation of like his relationship with Maya. I saw a lot of people.
Yeah.
I follow like Marvel cringe subreddits because they're fun. And like people like, and I like to know what the nerds are complaining about. And some were complaining about that. But like, I saw people in the comments and I agree with this. It's like the perfect way to illustrate how much he cares about Maya with it being the wrong type of care. Like the correct type of care would have been to just learn ASL. But Kingpin's just like, oh, I'm gonna make this a whole lot harder for myself. But I really enjoyed just the five episodes that we got. The action set pieces were pretty good, and the action in general.
Yeah, and love that took place in a roller skating rink. And there's a part in it where she takes like the bottom of a skate and uses it in like kind of like forms it into like sort of like a bolt launcher of some sort and uses it to distract somebody. And I thought that was just like a really cool thing to do. And just the whole roller skating rink in general, I thought was a dope concept.
Yeah, that was probably the best fight scene, I think. There was the one at the end, which I thought was pretty fun, but just what she was able to do with both the skates, but also like her leg. There was a lot of fun stuff with the one leg. And I don't even remember her having one leg before, honestly.
Yeah, but they just like didn't make a point to mention it, I feel like.
Yeah. No, it wasn't really like a big, they showed that she was deaf, but it didn't really show the lack of a leg. So that was kind of something we were finding out on the spot. But what did you think of the flashback scenes?
The flashback scenes, I definitely thought were like kind of weirdly paced at some points. Like, I don't know. I think that there could have been a little bit more that could have been fleshed out. I won't go into spoilers, but it feels like there definitely could have been like a couple more backstory scenes.
And with, I don't know if this is a spoiler, so we should probably just get into spoilers. Echo, decent show, watch it if you haven't already, but we're going to talk.
Yeah.
Some spoilers here. Kingpin, he's in this show. I think most people knew that already. I would have liked to have seen more flashback scenes with him just being, you know, fatherly, because it seems he was. Yeah. So just like more of that to kind of set the scene. I think they gave us enough, but like I wouldn't have mind seeing more instead of seeing like her mom die in a car crash four different times.
I thought you were talking about the different scenes with like her grandmother.
Oh, and I was, because that includes one of my favorite scenes in all of the MCU. And it's that like tribal ultimate frisbee with a pebble scene,
and you get banished if you lose.
That was one of the most unreal scenes I've ever seen. Yeah.
I was like, I feel like I'm not even watching like a Marvel thing right now.
It was so strange, and it felt intentional the way they were shooting it. And I think it was based on the fact that we got like a silent film type thing for the like 1800s. So yeah. I think it was intentional, but that thing was like shot like a video game cutscene. Like there's like an over the shoulder cam and a bunch of different wacky shots going on, as well as just like really close ups of faces. And it's just a surreal viewing experience. If you're like an MCU hater and you don't watch like full MCU shows, and you want something to hate on, just watch that out of context and that'll give you something.
Yeah. Yeah, but I agree. I thought that a lot of the Kingpin backstory stuff was good, and I could have seen more of that. I think that they're originally planning on this being like 8 to 10 episodes, which could have helped in some places, but I feel like could have hurt it in a lot of places, because it is good being a contained five episode arc, but there was like a little bit more. Like, did we even get a flashback for the mom? Like, it just kind of skipped. It went from the grandmother.
No, she got
like
the
kind of mixed.
She got like the in-person scene, but I would have liked to see what did she do with her powers? Like, she had these powers. What did she do with them?
Yeah, exactly.
Other than heal a bird one time.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, just a thought. I was kind of expecting in that flashback scene, it's the last one we get, the last time we get to see her die in a car crash. And I was expecting her to do like the hand thing on her and like try to do it, but like fail. And that's why maybe an explanation as to why she went her whole life without like using it. But the explanation that they end on was just that the closer she is to like her people or whatever, the more powerful she is. But
yeah,
they're obviously not gonna stick with that, because they're gonna want her to be able to use those powers like going forward in like New York and stuff. So I don't know how they'll get around that, but maybe Kingpin is her new family, because at the end of this, it doesn't end like a normal Marvel thing. They don't just go punchy punchy, throw him in jail. She takes all the hate out of his heart. Just all gone. Said sorry. Kingpin in the MCU, at least to my knowledge, has always just been, he's like
fueled by rage.
Yeah, he's just fueled by rage, and he's just a little silly evil guy sometimes, and he just does silly evil things. But he's not necessarily true evil. He's not like going around just killing puppies for the fun of it.
I mean, he does kill quite a few people, but.
But no puppies is my point.
He never on screen killed.
Never on screen killed a puppy. Not that bad of a guy. He got all the hate taken out of his heart. And he's just screaming, "What did you do? What did you do?" And that's how it ends. Is, you know, everyone's happy. Everyone's having a good time. Everyone's like, "We did it."
Real Fast and Furious style family dinner at the end.
Yeah, all about family. I was also just kind of like losing it at the end of that one guy who I loved, even though he had like total...
The cousin?
No, the henchman guy that talked like this. Like, hey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
He was just going to like... commit a terrorist attack. That's what he was trying to do. Actually, a hate crime. So, like, yeah. That was something. I don't understand what the plan was. Was that like, maybe I missed something? Was Kingpin was like, "Oh, go kill all the natives." What was he doing?
They were trying to like get revenge on. Like for Kingpin up until the point where I guess I took it as they found out that like, or they got called off by Kingpin saying like, don't follow through with this.
But why Kingpin wanting to do that?
Well, I maybe that was like when he was still like in a coma or whatever after she shot him.
Right.
So maybe they're like, you killed our leader. We just gotta go to the ends of the earth to kill you.
Kingpin, by the way, thickest skull in the game.
Oh, yeah.
takes a bullet point blank to the eye, doesn't even make it through the orbital. Like,
yeah.
Come on. What a unit. But I think overall, I think there's more positives to take from Echo than there are negatives. And I think this is, you had Loki was pretty good, and this kind of gets you back on track. I think the MCU's in an okay spot. It's really going to come down to Deadpool. Deadpool is such a make or break film for this franchise. And if Deadpool's a bad, incohesive mess somehow, which I don't think it will be, just because like people know what to expect going into Deadpool movies, they could be in some real trouble. But I think they'll probably get some nice momentum going, and we'll be all talking about the latest Avengers movie. Maybe not in the same light that we did like Infinity War and Endgame, but in a light like, okay, this movie might do a, or probably will do a billion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm thinking so, since it's the only Marvel movie of the year.
Yeah.
But
who knows? Who knows? Yeah,
so the very end credit scene of Echo. Did you watch the post credit scene?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, so sets up Daredevil a little bit. That's like the one scene I think that really like sets off the events that are going to happen in Daredevil. But there was some big news that just dropped today surrounding Daredevil. So a couple months ago, they kind of cleared house in their writer's room and started fresh because they didn't like the direction that they were going. And the new writers essentially decided that in order for this series to be good, all of the Netflix stuff needs to be canon. They're like, all of this stuff actually needs to happen. We need to actually bring back the actors from the other ones, because they weren't going to bring back Karen and Foggy that were the two other main characters in the series. They were just going to recast them. And so they're like, we got to bring them back. We got to actually follow like the storyline that were set up in the Netflix shows. And I think that this is a positive sign moving forward, and makes me excited.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure people are loving that. They got to do everything they can to get some goodwill back, and that's something that will do that. And those are things that fly under the radar, like, and obviously we're talking about it now, but if they, I know Foggy's like pivotal character of Daredevil, in terms of like, you know, so if people showed up and it was a recast, that's something that would be pointed at, like, oh, look how little they cared about the original material that we all loved. And it would just be pointed at like something like that. So they're doing the best they can to be like, hey, look, we care so much. To me, it feels like Marvel in general is kind of in a people-pleasing mode, which isn't a bad thing. I think that's very much a good thing. I think they kind of got in the mode where it's like, nothing, we know better than them. We know what they want. They don't know what they want. So it's getting people-pleasing. Just hopefully we don't go full, Rise of Skywalker on it. But somewhere in the middle, and you're gonna have a good show, and just the blood and Echo, I'm sure, is getting people jazzed about it already.
Yeah, speaking of the blood and Echo, I was like paying real close attention to see if there actually was gonna be blood in the fight scenes, and like there was it like half the time.
Blood. I'm trying to. I know there was one scene that made me kind of go, "Oh wow, you don't see that in the MCU."
Yeah,
can't really remember it right now. I know there's a lot of neck snapping, but like you got like real neck snapping, which you don't generally get. Some in the MCU, neck snapping is just like that, but you got like some real like over the neck snapping going on. So that was cool. But yeah, they kind of. They weren't tippy-toeing around it, but they were treading lightly for sure. I'll be interested, because there will be magnifying glasses on every fight scene of Daredevil to see is there blood. It's going to be like a, never mind, I'm not going to make that joke as we go into some other news, because, you know, Marvel news is great, but I'm sure if you're a watcher of the show and you don't care about Marvel, you've probably clicked off by now, let's be real. But what you might click back on for is good news. And this good news is Fast 11 will go back to the basics.
Stealing DVDs, stealing DVD players.
And we'll have a budget of $200 million or less, and will apparently be a throwback to the first film.
Yeah, DVD players. There we go.
I would actually love the idea of a Saw Fast and Furious reboot every 10 movies. So we're on 11 now. This is one. And then we're going to Fast 2, and we'll go from there.
Where they're saying this, but it's actually just going to be like a time travel movie. They're like, this is, we're going to give you vibes of the original Fast and Furious, but then it's actually just going to be like a time travel movie.
190 of the $200 million budget went into this sick time travel CGI that we got to use. So like,
yeah,
bear with us. We de-aged Vin Diesel. We actually turned him all the way back. So it was before he was canceled. So you can't even like come at us saying, oh, he's a predator. It doesn't matter, because this is de-aged Vin Diesel. He hasn't done those atrocities yet. Different guy. Jared Ness, who I don't know who that is, but I assume he is involved in the Minecraft movie, if not the director of the Minecraft movie. Someone involved in the Minecraft movie, Jared Ness, says that the live-action Minecraft movie aims to, quote, avoid the ugly Sonic situation. Quote, I just can't disappoint the 10-year-olds, or they're going to murder me. I like the quote. I will say most people that were upset about the Sonic thing weren't 10-year-olds. And it's going to be the same thing with Minecraft. Yeah, it was popularized by 10-year-olds, but that was like 12 years ago. So most of those 10-year-olds are going to be in their 20s. But I mean, I like that he's taking a jovial approach to the situation. I don't think that the Minecraft movie should be taking itself super seriously. So,
yeah, it's the Minecraft movie shaping up to be certainly something. Because I just read that they just got the set designer from Lord of the Rings, the original Lord of the Rings movies. He's going to be designing the sets for the live action Minecraft movie.
Nice.
And they got Jack Black, you know.
Yeah.
He's in it. Jason Momoa also was in it.
This doesn't sound ago. Like a real movie. Like, I can't picture how this looks. Like, I'm trying to imagine a trailer, and I'm imagining like, who's Steve? Is it Jack Black or Momoa?
It's not. It doesn't know. We don't know yet.
It could be me.
Steve could be everyone.
Yeah, Steve is you.
Yeah.
Jared Ness.
This is the first person. It's the first person movie.
I would actually be fired. But Jared Ness, I apologize for disrespecting him. He directed Napoleon Dynamite and Nacho Libre.
Okay.
So, sorry, Jared Ness. I will never make that mistake again. Tatiana Maslany is not sure that She-Hulk season 2 will happen. Quote, I don't think so. I think we blew our budget, and Disney was like, no thanks. Fair enough.
Yeah. It's probably real expensive to do that.
Yeah.
For streaming.
Yeah, and just to like be put under a microscope every single week of nerds trying to find the littlest, you know, freeze frame they can make that the CGI looks atrocious. What are you going to do? You going to keep pumping more money into the CGI, or are you just going to not do a season 2? Probably just not do a season 2. And that's understandable. And then that is the last of the movie leaks and rumors. They just posted the Marvel's post-credit scene, which, if you don't know by now, includes a silly little guy. So, I honestly don't know what our policy on like spoilers from a movie that came out a month ago are.
We already reviewed it a couple times.
Yeah, yeah. It's Beast. It's Beast is in yeah. the Marvels, guys. Hate to break it to you, but yeah, I think we've also talked about like the X-Men universe is definitely like being like meshed together. So
yeah,
it's all connected. But something that is making some waves right now is Percy Jackson. Obviously, we talked about it on last week's show, but it is something that Disney Plus is probably going to do a season two of, and I can almost guarantee you, if you've read the books, you've noticed that they're dropping in things that happen in the third and the fourth book that they didn't really discuss in the first book. So the fact that they're doing that and leaving those hints definitely insinuates that these stories are going to be told at some point. And, you know, I think that's exciting. And I guess people agree, as this is the most watched, you know, thing that they've put out in a while, of all 2023 on both streaming services. So Disney owns Hulu and Disney Plus. They got the rest of Hulu when they bought out Fox. And when you look at the numbers, did 13.3 million, which is slightly lower than Ahsoka, which did 14 million, but just marginally. And that's Star Wars right there. Mm-hmm. But it outperformed Loki season 2 premiere, which only did 10.9 million. So the 13.3 million by something that's considered basically a new IP, pretty crazy that it's, you know, doing Star Wars numbers. Goosebumps also did about 4 million, so they've been trying to reach into the bag of old kids' IPs and see what sticks. And I think we're seeing that Percy Jackson is something that could stick with a good adaptation. It's showing that.
Yeah, I think that it has potential to finish out like a full series and be a really great adaption.
And something that we're not going to talk about it weekly because it is an adaptation. Like, I'm sure if you're interested in it, you've probably read the books and you're probably watching along. It's nothing groundbreaking. But I did jump out of my seat and cheer when I saw Adam Copeland as Ares. For my WWE guys, Adam Copeland is Edge in the WWE. WWE Hall of Famer. Famously had a live sex celebration in the ring. really just one of my favorite wrestlers growing up. You know, man's getting into the acting scene. Obviously, he's been in it a little bit, but we're getting more wrestlers, so I felt it was time for a top five of the best current, you know, professional wrestlers turned actors. And I have this top five. Tell me if you disagree, Trent. Okay. Number five, I felt like we needed some women representation. Unfortunately, the WWE in the early 2000s, when like a lot of these stars like Cena and The Rock were, you know, they were selected for being good performers. Women were judged purely based on their looks in the 2000s. So because of that, instead of getting, you know, people that excelled at promos, they just got literal swimsuit models that didn't really have the ability to talk or perform. So you're not seeing a lot of women wrestlers. That being said, in the 2010s, there was kind of what they called a women's revolution, where they started, you know, caring about the talent of these women. And they started bringing people in. So while we don't have any big names at this point, I wanted to give a shout out to Becky Lynch. She is pretty big WWE name, but she also acted in Young Rock, where she played Cindy Lauper. So that's literally the only woman that I could find in the WWE that is doing some acting stuff. So I hope she continues with that, because I do enjoy her performances. So I didn't include names like Steve Austin, who was in The Longest Yard. Didn't include Hulk Hogan. I didn't include A lot of those, Andre the Giant, I didn't include a lot of those older guys that really were only put in things to be like, oh, that's a wrestler.
Look at that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. So my top four, I have four, Adam Copeland. He's already cracked the top four just with his performance as Aries. I think he does a really good Aries. And he also was, you know, that's all I have to go off of. But he was debuted in a show called Sanctuary, which looks like a ripoff of the show Heroes. You know, the late 2000s, everyone was on that like edgy superhero wave. So it was one of those things. But he also played Atom Smasher in The Flash.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So there's some CW action. This isn't the only time CW will come up. Number three, I have The Rock. Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He's a fine actor. He's obviously the most successful of anyone on this list. I think he really just got into the industry at the perfect time where someone like him was needed for, you know, his representation, but he wasn't like scary to the sheltered white audiences because he was had that big, big smile doing all the silly tooth fairy stuff. And then he slowly transitioned into being the biggest action movie guy of the 2010s and has kind of pittered out a bit as he is corny to the Gen Z generation. And he's not quite the box office smash that he used to be, but he's still a pretty good actor. And he will surprise you at times with a nice little heartfelt scene when he's, you know, in a jungle with a white t-shirt going crazy.
Yeah.
At number two, this one might come as a surprise if you know me, but I put John Cena at number two. I think John Cena is a better actor than a lot of people give him credit for. I think he's a better actor than The Rock, which is why I put him above him on this list. He had his acting debut in The Marine, which was actually a WWE produced movie. I think they saw the success The Rock was having and was like, oh, we got a ton of these guys. We'll just throw them in movies. And they did, made a lot of really, really bad movies. But I guess being in that probably helped him act in real movies going forward. I think the first time I remember him in an actual like movie was Trainwreck with Amy Schumer and then Bill Hader. And then obviously got his big break in The Suicide Squad as Peacemaker. And that's how he's kind of been able to break into the action world. And since then, he's done a ton of other stuff where he continues to prove he not only has range, but he also could do the standard John Cena thing where he, you know, says something that sounds stupid, you know, but he says it with enthusiasm. And number one, we got Dave Bautista, the most range of anyone on this list. He's done a few different types of roles at this point, which can't be said for all these people on this list. And his acting debut was in Smallville. Did you know that?
Really?
Yeah. He played Aldar in Smallville. Whoever Aldar
is. There a dash
is
in there?
Nope.
Is there like all dash?
Nope. It is just A-L-D-A-R. Aldar.
Interesting.
That's crazy. I looked up a picture. Just some dude in like a weird, it kind of looks like a biker fit. It's a very strange thing, but the CW being on two of these guys' lists doesn't surprise me because before they broke into Hollywood, they were probably very cheap. So, shout out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out Aldar. Shout out those guys. Smallville, which I think this is the fourth or fifth time Smallville has come up on this show, which, you know, shout out Smallville.
Yeah.
Fun show. Then we were going to go ahead and do our Rotter Tots for February. We decided to do it a bit earlier this time just to avoid any movies having, you know, more information. Because the point of this is to be fairly blind. Obviously, you can look at trailers, posters, cast, crew, whatever. We just don't want to get too influenced by like early screenings and stuff like that. So we're going to try doing it a bit sooner. And let's see here. Let's do a little game to determine draft order here. Let me see. Upcoming, yeah. Okay. So, go through here. So, I am on the front page of IMDb, Trent.
Okay.
And I'm looking at the top 10 this week. So, this is the top 10 most looked at pages this week. And I can confirm that they are stuff that's like coming out soon. There's not like just random things. If you can name two things, you'll get the first pick.
What of things that are coming out soon?
No, it's the top 10 on IMDb this week.
But is it movies that are coming out soon, or is it movies that are already out?
It could be both.
Okay. I'm gonna do. Is it movies and TV shows?
Yes, and I'll give you three strikes, but you got to just get two before the three strikes.
Succession.
No.
Poor Things.
No. Oh wait, yeah, no. Poor Things is on here.
Okay. What about
Poor Things is number four.
Echo
is on there. Yeah, it's number three, so we'll give you the first pick. The only I thought it might be hard. The reason I only did two, there's some weird ones on here. Saltburn is number one. Fool Me Once is number two. Echo number three. Mean Girls is number nine, which kind of surprised me. But it's been a couple weeks. So, you can take Rot or Tot, whichever you would like.
I'm going to go with Rot. I'm going to go with my Rot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to take the obvious choice and go with Madam Web.
Oh, I didn't think that was the obvious choice. But I did have that on my list. But I have a backup. So as long as we don't go two of the same rots, we should be okay. So now I'll follow you with a rot. I'll take what I think is the obvious choice. Madam Web has a chance. This movie does not have a chance. And this is just a W. We could go ahead and mark it down. I'm taking Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2.
Yep. That's fair.
Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2. Absolute bar, but we're taking that as my first rot, and that means I'll take the first tot, and I want to be a little edgy with it, so we're going to take, did you know Chance the Rapper is in a movie?
No, I did not.
I'm taking the Chance the Rapper movie. It's Sesame Street.
Okay.
As my tot. Reason behind it is simple. I just don't think critics are going to be going to the Sesame Street movie.
Sesame Street movies are probably pretty high on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, like, why would you go to... It's just called Sesame Street. It's not like a... Like, it's a theatrical release, I think. Or it might just be a streaming release. But I don't think that we're going to get too many negative reviews of Sesame Street. But, you know, maybe it'll be like a big day or the big day.
The big day. I'll go with the tot, and I'll go with Argyle.
Okay.
I don't know why I think it's gonna be good, but it's got a good cast.
See, yeah, it does. It does have a good cast. It has Dua Lipa and Henry Cavill. How could you go wrong?
It's either going to be terrible or it's going to be a fun time.
I mean, I'll be watching this one. Maybe I should have picked movies that like I actually will watch, because I will be watching Argylle. It's a, you know, it's an action thriller. That's my genre. It's got John Cena. Yeah. That's my boy. Like, it's,
yeah,
it's about a cat. All with that. It's directed by Matthew Vaughn, who
did Kingsman.
Yeah.
Did Kick-Ass X-Men movie, maybe? Kick-Ass? Yeah.
Yeah. He did. Did Layer Cake. And Stardust. Don't forget about Bloodshot.
Oh, the 2020 movie?
Yeah, the 2020
movie. With Vin Diesel?
Bloodshot. Vin Diesel, he did that one as well. So he's very hit or miss. But he's working, and I can respect that. He's made a lot of movies. So then that means it is my turn for a rot. And I know the name of it, but one sec, I just want to give you guys some background, because I'm sure you guys are chomping at the bit wanting to know about these movies. I'm going with Players, say Netflix movie. Starring Gina Rodriguez of Jane the Virgin fame.
Okay.
Also has Damon Wayne in it. New York sports writer Mac has spent years devising successful hookup, quote, plays with her friends. But when she unexpectedly falls for one of her targets, she must learn what it takes to go from simple scoring to playing for keeps. I gotta say, like, it's dope that we're more progressive and stuff, because in 2000, in the early 2000s, this movie already exists. It's probably starring Will Smith, and it's extremely misogynistic, and I don't know why we're just basically rehashing the same, but just like, oh, different gender, so it's no longer a misogynistic movie, but like, it's kind of messed up to just have hookup plays regardless of gender. But go off Netflix, hookup plays, let's go.
All right.
That's all Trent has to say about the 2024 film Players. Is,
yeah, I have nothing. I have nothing else to say about that. I was getting my next rot up. So my bad for not being fully paying attention.
But just some additional context, since you weren't paying full attention. It's directed by Trish Tsai. Who directed Pitch Perfect 3, aka the worst Pitch Perfect, and Step Up All In. Step Up All In.
Colon All In, yeah.
Step Up All In. But there's no space or like anything. Step Up All In has a 42% on Rotten Tomatoes, and Pitch Perfect 3 probably has like a 10%. I'm not even going to look. It has a 10%. Quote me on it. Go ahead and give us your next tot, Trent.
So my next tot is going to be...
Oh, wait, is it your next rot? Might be your next rot.
Either way,
you know.
I'll do my next rot, since you just did a rot. Yep. I'm going to take... Lisa Frankenstein. So this is a looks like a horror comedy movie starring Cole Sprouse and Catherine Newton, who is in Ant-Man Quantumania, and it looks like it's like a take on The Bride of Frankenstein or something, but yeah. it looks not great. I mean, so it says, I'll read the description. Yeah. So it says, a coming of rage love story from acclaimed writer Diablo Cody, who wrote Jennifer's Body, starring Jennifer Lopez, pretty sure, about a misunderstood teenager and her high school crush, who happens to be a handsome corpse. After a set of playful, horrific circumstances bring him back to life, the two embark on a murderous journey to find love, happiness, and a few missing body parts along the way.
And interesting director of this one. Of Nintendo commercial fame.
what does that mean?
You've never seen the Robin Williams, Zelda Williams, like Nintendo commercial?
Oh, yeah. I have.
So this movie's directed by Zelda Williams. Look at that.
She also directed the Michael Cera movie Juno.
Wait, what?
That's what it says.
There's no way. She was like 10.
Oh, no. You're talking about the writer?
No, I'm talking about Zelda Williams, the director of this.
Okay. Oh, no. I was thinking of the writer that was in the description of that.
I see. So she did direct. This is not the directorial debut. She directed a TV movie called Shrimp in 2018. And
I see.
Another movie called Kappa Kappa Die. So I think you're in a good spot with this one, but hey, maybe Zelda Williams proves you wrong and you'll have to eat your words on Lisa Frankenstein.
Yeah, we'll see.
But what do you got for a tot?
For a tot, I will go with the Bob Marley biopic that's coming out. I think it's called... Second, called Bob Marley One Love. It's a biopic.
Yeah, Bob Marley. That's easy money.
It's
that's
probably easy. might be good, might miss on this one, because I feel like people might be getting a little worn out biopics, but we'll see.
But do biopics ever get badly reviewed?
I guess that's true.
So like it's kind of a big W. I won't, my rots are pretty much gimmies, so I'm not questioning the integrity at all. I myself will be going with a original movie, original screenplay. It is actually a semi-autobiography. Which I'm always interested as to what that even means, like a semi-autobiography. Wild, wild term. It's directed by Laura Chin. It's called Suncoast. It's going to be a nice coming-of-age movie, Perks of Being a Wallflower type thing, maybe. I don't really know. I haven't watched the full trailer, at least not with the sound on. But from what I could tell from this preview that is just playing on my other monitor over and over again, it looks like a hoot. Woody Harrelson's the dad. And he gives off that energy of like, yeah, I'm a supportive father, but maybe I don't understand women's emotions, especially when they're going through puberty. I'm clueless, you know? And that's the kind of energy you need for a coming-of-age movie. As far as I can tell, he doesn't wear a ginger wig, which I prefer Woody Harrelson without a ginger wig. That's just me. I know that's a big point of contention nowadays, but I would just prefer normal hair Woody Harrelson, no wigs. What are your thoughts on that, Trent?
Yeah, I totally agree. Almost threw up when I first saw the post-credit scene of Venom. And I agree, Woody Harrelson should stay far away from red hair dye as possible and red wigs, because he doesn't ever fully commit to having red hair.
Venom. What?
The one that's coming out this year, Venom 3.
There's a Venom coming out this year?
Yes, there is.
Sorry to...
M3 coming out this year.
Oh my god. When how? What does...
Who knows?
What does Venom have left to do? Has he not venomed enough?
He's got a. Have you watched the second one?
Yes, but I don't remember it. I do remember the fight scene. One of the fight scenes.
Just the biggest meme like that I see right now coming like from that is Eddie saying he's gonna be in Malaysia for 6 months. And then it's so dumb. And it's like one of those rock star, like new rock star thumbnails, you know? And it's like, it's got like a red arrow pointing and it's like Malaysia and it's like 6 months with like Venom being like.
Bro, the new rock star thumbnails for some reason get me every time.
Yeah. So good.
Shout out new rock star. They make interesting content. There's only three people on the cast of the untitled Venom sequel. Does have a director. Kelly Marcel.
Who's the director? Okay.
Who directed has never directed? No. She wrote for both of the other ones. No, she's never directed. This is going to be her directorial debut. She wrote for Venom, Let There Be Carnage, Saving Mr. Banks, and 50 Shades of Grey. Those are her four big writing credits. Oh, wow.
Dude, what is Sony just loves giving the keys to people who just have hardly directed. Like, they gave it to Andy Serkis, and he directed one movie beforehand.
I think they should give me the keys next. Let me cook.
Yeah.
Give me... here's my pitch. Here's my pitch. If any Sony execs are listening, we bigger lobster aquarium, bigger one. Tom Hardy, put him in, bunch of lobsters. Movie, coming of age story, centered around a youth lobster. Woody Harrelson's there as a CGI lobster, no wig. I don't know where I was going with that. But give me the keys. Let me make a lobster coming-of-age story with actually prequel of the lobster that Tom Hardy ends up like eating or something. I actually don't remember. Does he eat them?
I think he takes it out and eats it.
Okay, so that...
He needs something that's like living, I think.
That lobster... Right? That he ate. I want to do a prequel for that lobster. So I will do it on a cheap budget. I only need $160 million. That's all I need. And just get me Hardy, obviously. Get me Harrelson. I'll figure it out from there. They have my number.
Love it.
But I think that's about all we have. We were going to talk about some of the stuff we've been watching, though. What have you been watching up there, Trent?
So it's been an icy week so far. Been an icy weekend.
Big weather show.
Trying to stay in, stay warm. But the show that I talked about last week or the week before, the A24 show called The Curse, that ended. And gotta say, such an incredible show. It is honestly like, it's a mini series. I doubt that they'll do another season of it, but it is just so good. Emma Stone, best actress right now. I think that Emma Stone is just so good. And I think that she plays like the characters that she plays just so well. And you don't really like, you have like such a hard time like deciphering what she's really like thinking about. But like, that's totally intentional in the show. The directing in the show is awesome. It almost feels like it's like a brand new genre of show. It's like part reality show, but like part like mockumentary. So it's kind of like, it almost feels kind of like how like The Office was kind of like a mockumentary, but kind of like a sitcom. This almost feels like the same, but it's like a real, but it's like a HGTV reality TV show.
That's cool.
And
I like that.
Yeah, I think it's really cool. And yeah. It's almost like avant-garde until like the last episode when it just like unabashedly just beats the themes that it's trying to get like to you over your head. Like it just like just nails point or like it nails home the points that it's been trying to make the whole season. And it's like it deals with like metaphors and foreshadowing. And I think that like the ending is just a lot of people will think that it's super like weird and be like, what the fuck did I even just watch? But I think that it just perfectly encapsulates the show. And I think that it's just a beautiful ending. And I probably wouldn't recommend it to a lot of people just because it is so like weird. And a lot of people, I feel like, won't understand it, but I feel like you would like it.
Yeah. It sounds up my alley. If it's weird and random, like psychological themes, as well as just being a reality show mockumentary, that's like my shit right there. I think it's so wild looking back on The Office. Like that was revolutionary to do something like that, especially like on a TV show like that was going to be on a big network. Doing something with a shaky cam was just like so crazy. It was like, what is this energy I'm getting? The camera's moving. What is happening? For a TV show at the time, that was wild. And we get so used to that style now, that it is cool hearing that, people are still pushing it. So yeah. Shout out A24, shout out Emma Stone.
Benny Safdie.
What?
Benny Safdie, he's the one that directed it. He also stars in it. Nice. Love the Safdie brothers.
Oh yeah.
How about you?
I mean, quick shout out to some actual reality TV. The Traitors season 2 came out. I'm still dealing with some emotions after episode 2. Really broke my heart, but I won't spoil anything for people. Real tragedy, but you know, talked about it a couple times on a few shows. It's huge cast of random people. Like there's this guy from the British Parliament and that was like a politician, and dude's like 70 years old, and they had to do like a running thing kind of akin to what you'll see on like some of the competition TV shows where they're running. And I tell you, this 70-year-old man was just hauling his ass down a hill. Like it was incredible. You don't get to see many 70-year-old politicians just run full speed. But I wish we got to see it more is all I'm saying. So if we want to we got an election coming up, I vote for a foot race. I think that would be the most sane way of going about this. I don't want to hear about all these weirdos in Florida. I don't want them. Just foot race. Let's just decide it that way and stop talking about it. My dad is faster than your dad type of stuff. And let's just get to it.
Yeah, love that.
But other than that, I was pretty busy this week, so I didn't get a chance to watch too much stuff. But I also got kind of occupied with Baldur's Gate, which is game of the year this year. I think it's been out for a while, a long while, but it's finally like really, really polished, and I decided to give it a try, and it's maybe the best game I've ever played. That's not hyperbole. It's just like I'm just playing it, and it's just like so well made. Not really much to it other than that. If you like fantasy RPG stuff, if you enjoyed the Dungeons and Dragons movies that came out that were pretty popular, I would recommend trying this out. It is genuinely the best video game I've ever played, and I kind of was getting tired of video games a little bit because it felt like things coming out weren't really evolving the medium at all. A lot of the games that come out are so focused on how can we get player retention. Player retention is like the big buzzword for everything, whether that be social media or what, how can we keep these people on our application as long as possible. And game mechanics are built to do that, like daily bonuses and random things like that. And that stuff gets really boring after a point for me. So having this like refresh and just fresh kind of slate, it's not some Bethesda game that, you know, feels like a Bethesda game. It is a completely new from the ground up thing. And if you are into RPGs at all, I highly recommend it. So, yeah, that's what I've been up to.
Nice. I've heard good things about it.
Yeah, I bet.
No, like I always see like walkthrough, like there's a video of Elijah Wood and Sean Astin, actually the people on my shirt right now, from Lord of the Rings playing Baldur's Gate, and that was cool to watch.
Yeah, no, I definitely recommend it if you have some time just to play through it. It's broken up into different acts, so you have like Act 1, Act 2, and like the map is different. I'm still in Act 1, and I've played about 10 hours, so it is a hefty, hefty game. It's one of those games, if you try to do everything, you'll go insane, so you kind of just have to skip things and just keep it moving, which is hard to do at times, but we keep it moving. But yeah, that I think that's it for the show, unless you got any parting words or use for us. No. All right,
that's pretty much it.
Well, I appreciate you guys for sticking through. Hopefully there wasn't too many audio issues there at the beginning. I lost my ability to hear at one point, but you know, that's why we're the Prime ASL podcast. And if you watch the thing, I lose my hearing, and me and Trent just communicate with ASL throughout the whole rest of the video. So if you're interested in seeing that, make sure to go over to the video side of things. But I appreciate everyone for watching. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, deuces. Thanks, guys.
See you.